So Spurs are coming in. They might be favored by tip time. Take a road dog. They've been close. Where are we at sphincter-wise? Like, are we panicking today? Or are we like, dude, we're actually close. We just didn't execute. Yeah, they're young. They can win on the road. They won in Game 7 on the road. They can handle the Garden. Or are we, oh, my God, we might get swept because we're the baby team in this series and the veteran team's the one making all the crucial plays?
Well, I think as Blazer fans, we would talk ourselves into belief. We were down 0-2 to the 76ers in 77.
So you're coming in. Okay, so you're coming in 77 stuff.
So you got that stuff.
Yep, you're coming
in
today.
Game 7 on the road, knocked off the, you know, defending champions. I think you talk yourself in. You haven't been blown out.
But if we lost game 2 at Moda Center and we're doing the show today, you think we're coming in positive?
I think you're coming in positive. I think you're talking yourself into it. If they played out in a similar fashion, if you didn't get blown out in either game, it's a couple of tweaks here. It's a couple of, you know,
don't throw the ball at Cass's back.
Yeah. You look at it and go, okay, those are totally things that are correctable.
Okay. All right. Well, so this is where I would sit. I was thinking about this over the weekend. We're going to get Jason Minix on, our good friend down in San Antonio, to see where he's at, where they're at. I have a feeling because they got 5 rings, they're sitting in a spot where swag is. I don't know if I would be there. I wouldn't be dismissing the idea of our team coming back and winning. Certainly if they wanted an OKC in a Game 7 to be interesting. But I would be probably coming in today just thinking it may not be our year. And I'd be devastated by that. But if I had a Wimby, I'd still feel really good about our chances. But I would be thinking, and I'd have the mentality of, may not be our year. They're making all the big plays. We're making all the boneheaded plays. This might just be fate or destiny. Or it's going to be a series of road dogs, of road teams going in and saying, yeah, it doesn't matter. Home court, doesn't matter. They're certainly close enough to make that argument. Let's find out how they're feeling. Again, I'm going to wager, Swag, I said this while you were on the phone with him. I'm going to wager that our guest, Jason Minix, of 94.1 FM, also an FM guy over there, San Antonio, I'm going to wager that he's taking the position that you're taking. Oh, we're going to win tonight. We feel good. We barely lost. This is still our series. Whereas I'm taking a bummer Brandon approach of, maybe this is not our year. Maybe it's destiny for New York. We're the young team. They're making the big plays. Let's see. Jason Minix, San Antonio, thank you for hopping on. Where are you at in terms of how you feel coming off of a game 2 loss at home as they go back to New York?
You know, Brandon, watching you lose money is always a joy. So, both can be true. And I think if you're a Spur fan, you realize tonight is a must win. But in reality, the way they lost those 2 games, both had a chance to win them. The way New York is playing, I think reality might be setting in, but hope is not all lost. I know that's riding the fence a little bit. Both of your statements could be true, but if you're going to lose money, I'll go the other way. If you're the other way, I would say, yeah, there's still hope. If they won twice in Oklahoma City, including a game 7, but it's crazy. The inexperience that everybody talked about at the beginning of the postseason has not really been evident until the first 2 games of the NBA Finals.
You know, the crazy thing about that, Minix, is you had that snide little comment to start this interview, is I've been on the Knicks money line both games, so I actually have won money, dude! You're out here dropping fantastic and rubbing scoot in our face. I gotta be honest, it's kind of nice to watch, although I think you guys got a good shot in Game 3. I'm looking forward to the energy, Wimby on the road. Who has disappointed you the most so far from a San Antonio perspective?
Wemby has been slow to start both games.
Yeah.
He's got to shoot more. He's got to get down in the paint. And I say disappointing. I mean, you know, you look at his stat line. If you didn't watch the game, you'd think he had a pretty good game. He had a great fourth quarter in game 2, but he was MIA in the first half.
Yeah, he was.
The list of disappointment, you know, Julian Champagne has yet to hit a bucket in the second half of either of the games. Great first halves. Little bit of a defensive liability. De'Aaron Fox was MIA in game 1. Mm-hmm. He bounced back with a strong game 2. I mean, you know, that's the frustrating part. I mean, I think defensively they've done a pretty good job on Jalen Brunson. You know, you look at game 1, you tell me a guy takes 30 shots to get 31 points, you take that all day, but he took over in the fourth quarter. Their superstar showed up when it mattered most, the Spurs superstar did not.
Yeah. Our guest here is Jason Minnix, host of the Blitz in San Antonio, as they get ready for a game three to watch down there, as MSG is going to be absolutely rocking tonight. And we'll see if the Spurs are going to make this a series or if New York is going to maybe line up a sweep here. It's going to be very interesting to see how this happens. The line is already dropping in the favor of the Spurs. It was 2.5 10 minutes ago, and now it's 1.5. Look, you've been doing this a long time, dude. You've covered some really great Spurs teams, some close heartbreaking Spurs teams. So, overall, the franchise has treated your career rather well. You also watch the NBA in general. I don't know how hard you would have laughed at me if we bring you on at the start of the series and I say, Karl-Anthony Towns is going to kind of embarrass Wemby. I don't know how hard you laugh at me, but I do think you laugh at me to start the series off. And he's been, I think, the MVP of the finals so far, two games in. What do you make of what you're seeing from Karl-Anthony Towns and how he's been able to play against a guy that he just got through the Western Conference playoffs and represents the conference? He's 22. Like, how stunned are you to see this happen with Cat versus Wemby?
I mean, you just said it all. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns, before the series started, we did a poll on our YouTube page during our show on, besides Brunson, who concerns you most? And Cat was the guy that I was concerned with most. I wanted to go after him, get him in foul trouble, get him frustrated. But he's playing like a grown man, and Wemby is not. This might be the best basketball we've ever seen Karl-Anthony Towns play. And, you know, you look at the way the Knicks are, they're so strong on their front line, and the Spurs are not. You know, when Luke Kornet is out there, man, it's just, you know, a turnstile to the rim. Now, Luke's been great all year, but the Spurs have no depth there.
Yeah.
And nobody to protect Wemby. Mm-hmm. And for his size, he's not living in the paint. And that's been frustrating. He doesn't need to take that many threes and stuff that I've complained about for 3 years. That's part of his game. But in a series like this, he should be able to dominate. And instead, it's Karl-Anthony Towns looking like the best player on the floor, not Jalen Brunson and not Victor Wembanyama.
When you look at Wemby and he gets ready for tonight, I know Mitch Johnson's taking some flack. What did you make of that play when he threw the ball forward, hit Castle on the back? He then he fouls Brunson. And Brunson, to, you know, the Spurs' credit, only hit the one free throw, so they had a chance to win there at the buzzer. Just take us through your thoughts of that play, because some people are blaming pretty decent percentage on Mitch Johnson. I'm one that just thinks this is what the NBA now is. Fast breaks exist, and teams are used to playing that way. I don't know if I blame Castle much. Where were you at on that play specifically of throwing the ball on Castle's back?
You know, the complaints are everywhere. And if you don't watch the Spurs, you would blame Mitch Johnson. I don't necessarily agree with this, but that's what they always do. Go back to game one of the second round against Minnesota. Spurs had a chance to win that at the end. They didn't call a timeout. Julian Champagne had a great look. It didn't drop. They lose game one against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Same situation. They didn't take the timeout. I think part of what you saw there is the inexperience show up. Steph Castle is starting to get up the floor because you've got a guy like Wemby who has been known to bring the ball up. So Castle is trying to give him the space, is what Steph said afterwards. But when you've got a 7'5 guy that's a ball handler, I don't blame Steph for what he did, but I want somebody else bringing the ball up the floor. They had enough time. But not calling a timeout, you don't let New York set their defense and draw something up. Worst case scenario, you go to overtime, but Wemby throws it away. And that's going to go down, especially if the Spurs don't win this series, is one of those horrendous moments in Spurs history that we'll think about, whether it was the Manu foul on Dirk or mm-hmm. Derek Fisher's point four or Ray Allen's shot. I mean, this is right up there with, I can't believe that just happened to this team. And you had your best player in the moment throw a pass to a guy that wasn't looking. I don't blame Steph. I don't really blame Mitch, because while I disagree with the philosophy, that's been their philosophy all year long. You don't call a timeout in this situation. You push the ball up the floor and don't let their defense get set.
Radio host, longtime radio host down in San Antonio, Jason Minnix is our guest here as San Antonio gets ready to take on Game 3 with New York in the Garden. Does Wemby look tired to you, or is that
yes.
just he does?
He does. You know, watching him all year, and it's consistent. You can tell when he's fatigued, even at the beginning of games, when he's not going down low and he's settling for threes, and those threes are a little bit short. And part of the reason, like, Wemby plays both ends of the floor. You know, a lot of guys on one end or the other, depending on what their specialty is, can get a little rest on one end of the floor. Wemby can't. Wemby spends so much of his energy on the defensive end, covering up the mistakes of his teammates. He doesn't get a playoff here, a playoff there. He can't steal some rest. He can't hide them on, especially in this series, there's nowhere to hide them on somebody else to maybe give him a little bit of a breather. And of course, the pounding that he takes on that frame, and he's never played this many games. I thought he looked tired, really tired, in game five of the Oklahoma City series. Mm-hmm. Of course, they lost that one. And somehow he found incredible energy in game six and seven. So tonight, as you're watching it, if he gets off to another slow start, it's going to be over for the Spurs, in my opinion. But yeah, he looks fatigued. A couple weeks ago, he said he'll rest in July. But the reality is maybe these 2 days off will help him in his normal routine of rehab and conditioning after a game and all the crazy stuff that guy does to make sure his body is ready to go. But he has not looked the same in the first two games of this series. A lot of that is the Knicks, but just his body language, his demeanor. You know, go back and watch some of the highlights, first half highlights versus the fourth quarter when he got angry and was yelling at his teammates at the bench. You know, I was sitting next to our morning guy at the game, and I was like, this guy has no right to be yelling at anybody. Has he not seen the way he has played? But it did fire up the group, and they had that big run in the fourth quarter.
You know, if they win tonight, this is kind of a moot question statement thing for you. And I know you've been doing this a long time. But like, if they lose this series and this is kind of how it just continues to look for the most part, and the tired thing, like, one thing I would be curious about if I was talking about this from your vantage point would just be, I don't know how you change the getting tired thing, because they seem like they're really aware of the minute distribution he gets. He's obviously really tall. He's freakishly lengthy. So, like, you kind of worry about injuries. I know he had the blood clot thing, and that's different. But you don't want to jeopardize him. It was the one criticism about his MVP stuff was, like, his minutes per game, and he was close to the games played thing. Is, like, do they have to up that, or is that just something that, like, he learns through? I think that's the interesting part, is the Spurs are as careful and invested long-term in their guys as any organization. They kind of created the load management thing, so they're going to handle it the right way. It's just more like, does it always impact in the playoffs if you've never played 40 minutes or you're not, you know, it's high-level physical stuff the whole time? I thought that game was actually allowed to be too physical at a certain point by those officials. I just don't know what they do if they end up not winning the series and it continues, he looks tired. Like, how do you change the regular season of things with him?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we were talking about that very thing in the Oklahoma City series, is his minutes are so managed throughout the season, in theory, so you have enough left in the gas tank for the postseason. But when your body is not used to playing 40, 42, 43 minutes, and you're used to going about 28 to 32 and coming out of the games at certain times, and you're in that routine, and now you're being asked to do so much more, at the end of the year, it is taking its toll. Now, the Spurs and every other organization, they have so many people that are studying all of this data. And I trust that they'll come up with the right plan, but he's never played this many games. None of these guys for the Spurs, for the most part, have played this many games. But it is a concern and something that we've been talking about that they're going to have to figure out. Maybe this load management thing, I don't want to say they've done it wrong, but there are some adjustments that they're going to have to make, because if he truly is this out of gas in June, then they've got to figure out how to make sure that he's able to play this many games. And when the minutes are up, and because of their roster construction, when he's not on the floor, the other team is going to go on a run. They just are. Oklahoma City did. And again, no offense to Luke Kornet. He's been solid all year, but you know, the Oklahoma City matchup, and certainly with what the Knicks are doing, when Kornet is out there, there really is no defense, and you're going to see the other team go on a run.
Final one for you, Minix, because we appreciate the time today, man. And I know you've got a big show ahead of you, getting ready for everything. You know, outside of Cat, just what has impressed you the most of watching the New York Knicks play basketball and come out victorious in two games? And who do you got tonight?
You know, it's interesting because they have so many role players that are delivering. Now, going into the series, they didn't break a sweat in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Knicks did. And they, you know, didn't really have to break a sweat against Philadelphia. They were up 50 on Atlanta in a closeout game in Atlanta. They're good. But how good are they? They are proving to be really good. The Spurs have done a great job on Jalen Brunson. But the Knicks have so many other players that are stepping up. You know, they did a great job on SGA. And outside of Alex Caruso, there wasn't that next person for the Thunder that was going to hurt the Spurs, you know, and part of that was J-Dub being out and that sort of stuff. But, you know, you look around. I mean, Jalen Brunson is not having a great series. He's had a great fourth quarter in game one, and he hit a couple of big shots in the fourth quarter of game two. But for the most part, the Spurs have done a pretty good job on Jalen. Yeah. But he has so many other weapons. They are a deeper, better team that their experience – is showing from the last couple of years, their playoff hurt, their playoff disappointment. You know, Jalen Brunson just looks unhappy all the time, right? And, you know, because they are on that mission. And in a lot of ways, it does remind me of that Spurs team in 2014 after they lost to Miami in the finals when Ray Allen hit that shot in game six. There was still a game seven in that series. Dude, I don't remember anything about it. And I was there because Ray Allen, we were in the tunnel. The trophy was right there. Yep. We thought the Spurs were going to win the series in Miami, and they did not. And the whole next year, the Spurs were on a mission. This Knicks team reminds me of that Spurs team. They are on a mission. That said, I do think the Spurs get tonight in game three. I'm a homer, though.
Yeah, need you to be a homer at the end there. We thought you would, but Shamit's been awesome, to your point of role guys. Like, they all have stepped up. Good stuff. Jason Minix, catch him, 94.1, the Blitz over there in San Antonio, Texas. One of our favorites, catch up with Spurs-related things. Thanks, Minix, for hopping on. We appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy game three, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.